Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
So it's midnight here in Europe, and it's morning in Japan now. This is the pretty special conditions of the 71st Berlinale. I'm Niklas for Fred Film Radio, sitting here in a Zoom conference with Ryusuke Hamaguchi. I hope the pronunciation is kind of okay. I think German people, as I would usually pronounce you, like Ryusuke Hamaguchi.
Yeah,
so, but yeah, we were talking today about your new film, Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy, that is in main competition in Berlinale. And I watched a couple of competition films already, and it was quite obvious for me that there are films together in the competition that were shot before the COVID-19 situation, and there are films that are shot during the COVID-19 situation. And when I watched your film, I felt like you belong to the second faction. Is that right?
So the answer is actually 50-50. The first two short films that you see in the film were shot in 2019, so we didn't have to suffer the influence of the pandemic. The third episode actually was, however, shot in 2020, so we were under the influence of COVID-19 then.
Okay, but this is very interesting because I feel that there is a certain emptiness in the locations and also in the minimalism of how many actors and actresses are used in the film. And it's then actually a very lucky thing that you could react so well to the scenario of COVID-19, right? Because it's probably hard to shoot a film with lots of actors and actresses in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. Mm. So this, yeah.
And does this...
Indeed.
So,
in terms of the minimalism that you talk about, this was actually a concept of the production itself. From the get-go, we planned to do it in this way, in the style that we did, with minimal members of cast and crew. And in place of that, we did try to, well, we did take a lot of time for each episode, for the production of each episode, and we did it in a way that is not time-wise, that is not afforded in Japanese commercial filmmaking these days. So I think that was what helped us actually when the pandemic came. We were only influenced in a very minimal way. So as long as we followed the basics in terms of preventing infection, such as hand washing, gargling, and keeping our social distance, we were able to keep the effects of the pandemic minimal in our shoot.
I have a question about the third episode you're talking about, that it was shot under the COVID-19 conditions. There is a fictional scenario that a virus came to the world, but it's not a humankind threatening virus, it's a technical threatening virus, it's a computer virus. And it made a world that is completely empty of internet, so there's no internet communication anymore. Is this, like, for you, because it's quite the opposite of what we are here right now, right? Because with COVID-19 we are even more in the internet. Is this even a utopian scenario for you in a way? Because your film is actually pretty optimistic with the scenario, and at the same time also only a side fact of this beautiful episode, where it's more about actually two women are meeting each other.
でも指摘いただいたことはまあ本当にそうだなと、ユートピア的な、
So, indeed, I suppose it is, as you say, it is a utopian world of sorts that we're depicting here. And as you say, it is the exact opposite, the mirror opposite of what we're, the world that we're living now, where everything has gone online, whereas in this story, everything has gone offline. However, I think this is actually not such a bad situation that these characters are in, because we're just regressing or reverting to life life 20 or 30 years ago. And the characters, I think they realize that it's not such a bad thing. It's not so inconvenient. There was a line in the dialogue that did allude to this, that it's not all that, this lifestyle is not all that inconvenient. However, I deleted it in the edit room because it was just too direct of a piece of dialogue.
で、まあ、この、はい、この第三部の話っていうのは、まあ、自分が書いた。
So, going further into the third episode, I would say that it was probably the most optimistic story that I've written so far. and I wanted to do it in this way because there are a couple of reasons, but the first being that the second episode was pretty dark. It does touch on the darker aspects of the human condition, so I wanted to give the audience a kind of I wanted to end on a high note and have the audience leave the theaters feeling optimistic. So that's why we included this more optimistic episode in the final part. It was only, however, through depicting this parallel world that is almost like ours, but not quite so, that I think I was able to end the story on an optimistic note. And so we can say that it is really, I mean, the title is Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy, but really it is a result of coincidence and fortune, I suppose, that I was able to kind of wield this story. Mm-hmm. Or ended on an optimistic note, let's say, about these two people.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I got that. I also wonder if your films, but especially this film, might be about narrating itself somehow, because the characters in the dialogues often actually realize the psychological situation they're inside right now and commenting it. And then some characters are actresses. One character is even a novelist. And the last episode, there is a reenactment where both figures are actually completely conscious about. So is this film also like a comment about narrating itself?
まあ、本当におっしゃる通り、これはナレーションにまつわるナラティブのフィルムというか。
So I would say that how you view it is correct. It is indeed a narrative film about narration. It is indeed a story about storytelling. And why I depict this, really, I have no other answer than to it is of my liking. These kind of themes are of my liking. I like people. I like characters who speak of themselves, and that's not something that's commonly done in Japanese filmmaking. You don't have these very vocal or articulate characters. 80% or 90% of the Japanese films are not like that. And so I want to infuse characters with words. And I think that style of filmmaking or these kind of this angle of storytelling also influences the actor as well. It also influences his physicality as well, because through saying these lines, he or she comes to understand himself and himself or herself, what is truly the essence of himself or herself, or what is truly the character that he or she plays. And it's a gradual process of change, and I like to capture that change. Yes, so yeah, that's the answer. Why?
Okay. I feel that you're talking quite often about commercial Japanese cinema. What's your opinion or your relationship to commercial Japanese cinema? And maybe what names are you connecting to commercial cinema? Because I think for Western audience, it's also sometimes very hard to separate actually the border between commercial and non-commercial Japanese cinema somehow. Like, for example, Kitano or Mika, or something. They're kind of both, right? For us, at least.
その両方である監督というのは、まあ、とても幸運な監督。
So speaking of commercial versus non-commercial, these directors that you mentioned, they are the lucky few who are able to straddle both sides. And of course, they are very, very talented. I think to be able to straddle those lines or that line is something that any filmmaker would aspire to. But the situation in Japan presently is unfortunately very polarized. You have these massive budget films. On the other hand, you have these tiny artistic auteuristic films. I myself consider to be of the type that can actually traverse between commercial filmmaking and my own independent filmmaking. When there have been films in the past that I've done on a very big budget, and in these productions, I have tried to bring in my method of filmmaking, but with the more independent films that I do, there is more leeway for freedom, and I am able to be more experimental in these productions.
And because, like, the names we were talking about are rather belonging to a former generation of Japanese filmmakers, would you say that there is some change in this border between commercial and indie cinema in Japan?
その昔は中間的な映画っていうものがやっぱりたくさん存在していました。まあ、
In previous generations, let's say, there were more so-called mid-size budget films, and this is where all of the talented filmmakers would make this arena is where the talented filmmakers would make their films. Now, what has transpired throughout these 10 or 20 years is that because the equipment is becoming cheaper, it actually allows for more cheap and more independent filmmaking because we have shifted from film to digital. And of course, for better or for worse, it does create room for talented filmmakers to do projects that are more indie projects that are of lower budget. But I think what the industry really needs to do is try to create more opportunities for these mid-sized budgets. But because equipment and production is becoming cheaper, it has made possible more independent and more smaller budget filmmaking with a certain consistency. And that, I think, has actually created the polarization of big budget versus tiny micro budget films.
It's interesting. I have another question about your general filmmaking, because I feel your films have often some maybe formalist idea. I don't know, would you call yourself a formalist? I don't like this word because it's so negative, but maybe to have another question about it, does it happen that the initial thought, the initial idea of your film is a formal idea? Like, for example, I make a film out of 3 short stories, or maybe 7, because I read that there are 4 are still coming. or does it come the figure and the feeling and narrative things first, and then you decide to structure it in an interesting way, like you did here in Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy?
So I'm very pleased, actually, that you have defined me, I suppose, as a formalist. However, there is a part of me that always wants to escape that as well. So there is a duality there. I would think that, yes, there are elements of my filmmaking where, yes, I do think of the form of the film, the shape of the film first, and then we work towards that. So there are both elements in my filmmaking, because first of all, I have been deeply influenced by filmmakers who are the exact opposite of formalism, such as John Cassavetes. So what I try to do is there is a form, there is a shape that I work towards, but at the same time, I want to destroy that as well. So and that's why you have my films are like you have this framing in which the film is boxed, but within that, you place the actors, and they're more free to do what they like in that moment. And so it's kind of this spontaneity that is boxed in a frame or a form of sorts, I guess you could say.
Yeah, the two hearts of directing, right? The strict thing and the freer thing. So you were talking about influences like Cassavetes or so. I need to ask you that because your film reminds me very much of Hong Sang-soo. Especially because of like the zooms you use in all of the episodes. Is he an influence? Is he maybe a role model for you? What's the connection to you?
ホンサンスは大好きです。とても尊敬をしています。特に2015年。
So, yes, indeed, he is a filmmaker that I very much respect, especially work after 2015. I think the English title was right wrong then. But I thought this was a wonderful piece of work. And then you mentioned about the way that he uses Zoom versus the way that I use Zoom. I would say that there is a difference in the sort of what it signifies between my films and his films. I think the way he uses his Zooms is more radical and contemporary. Meaning that it kind of disrupts the storytelling, whereas I think I have a more kind of classical approach to the Zooms. What I love about him is that he brought in a very practical way to, or translated to East Asia, what Eric Rohmer did. And I think he showed us how we can perhaps pursue Eric Rohmer's style filmmaking in a very practical sense, and that's what he showed us.
Okay, great. So then you're probably very pleased that you're competing for the Golden Bear with him together. Mm-hmm. And I wish you the very best because I enjoyed the film very much. And I think it was even a film that I actually Hong Sang-soo wait for to make. So I hope you take this as a compliment. And I say thank you for this wonderful interview.
Yeah, thank you for your compliment.
That was Niklas for Fred Film Radio from the 71st Berlinale. I was here with Ryusuke Hamaguchi talking about his film Wheel of Fortune and Fantasy. You listen to Fred FM, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.